Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 6. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
Apparently, in ancient China, there was an obsession with finding the elixir of life, a liquid that could bring immortality. It wasn't just in China. Across cultures, apparently, that has been a thing that people have sought. Many Chinese emperors would send out expeditions, missions, to find this elixir of life, obviously with no success. It was believed, actually, that some precious and long-lasting substances like gold, if drunk, could bring longevity to those who drank them. And you can imagine what the outcome of that was. One emperor apparently died from ingesting mercury. Well, today we find God saying in verse 3, we find him saying that the search for the elixir of life is over. It's right there in verse 3. I don't need to tell you about the thirst for deeper satisfaction in the city. You will know among your colleagues and in yourself, there is a thirst, isn't there, for real joy, real happiness. Happiness that is not illusory or fleeting. Most people, I think, realise after 1, 2, 3 years that a city career does not and will not offer them all that life is meant to be, and it will not quench that deeper soul thirst. My uncle, who was a very successful barrister, now a high judge, he was a QC, said to me just a couple of years ago, just works over in Temple, in a very candid moment, he said, you know what, after 5 years of doing this job, I was bored, frustrated. And this is one of the leading, most respected lawyers in the city. Some of you may know his name. He was bored. He was frustrated. It's just the same thing over and over again. We know, don't we, I think, that city careers cannot offer the thirst-quenching water that is being offered in the Bible. Some might say, well, what about family? What about family and children? Surely that might sort of quench our thirst for meaning. And I think there's something to the fact that there is probably more meaning to be found in family than in career. But those of us who have families will know that actually families are broken, and that it does not quench that deeper soul thirst. But we see in this passage of Scripture that God is describing his salvation in terms of quenching a thirst in our souls. Verse 3, Isaiah prophesies that being saved by God will be like drawing water from the wells of salvation. It's a beautiful image. We could go to the pub and water ourselves with a drink that brings temporary relief. God says we can come to his wells of salvation and find the drink that brings true happiness. Verse 3, of course, flows out of verses 1 and 2, which we looked at last week. And there we saw the heart of salvation is in verse 1, a restored relationship with our Creator. Verses 3 to 6 are the implications of this. And so in verse 3, we see that as our relationship with our Creator is restored, so he opens up the wells of salvation. As it were, they flow out of him. And so no surprise, therefore, to find Jesus Christ as he stood publicly in Jerusalem just a few days before he died, crying out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." In other words, as I die for sin, as I restore your relationship with God, so anyone can come to me and find the wells of salvation that are being promised in Isaiah chapter 12. So point number one on your sheet, the water that brings true happiness. There's a well-known account of a group of men who escaped from a Siberian prisoner of war camp in World War II. I don't know if you know it. I think it was made into a film called The Long Walk quite recently. It's an amazing account. They walked all the way down from Siberia, 3,000 miles to India, through unbelievably testing terrain. Three of them survived out of six or seven. Two, sadly, died in the Gobi Desert, so up in Mongolia. And as they walked into the desert, they just didn't know what they were walking into. They didn't know where they were. And so they didn't take water particularly. They didn't take a stock up with water. And so 8 days' trek later, one person had died. And they were basically crawling through the desert, and they found this pool, this oasis of water, and they drank, obviously, with joy. But then another 10 days, a journey through the desert, and they survived by licking stones. Well, this is the metaphor that God is using in verse 3. He's saying that his salvation is like finding water in the desert. The rest of Isaiah makes it clear that is the case. It's like having a desperate thirst satisfied. A desperate thirst satisfied. Now, the city obviously isn't a desert in the strict geographical sense, but it is a desert, isn't it, in terms of genuine happiness and deep satisfaction. And God says that the wells of salvation are open in the city if only people would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This provides an important correction to the prevailing view of what coming to Jesus will be like. A couple of weeks ago, I was chatting to a guy in Whitechapel Library on a Saturday morning. He was about my age, I think, and as it turns out, he works in the city. He was reading comics as his Saturday morning relaxation routine. I don't know if that's something you do. And we got chatting anyway, and it turned out that he was a Catholic and had been attending Catholic churches on and off throughout his life. I asked him how he would sum up the Christian message. And I got the answer that I feared I would get, the answer that I always seem to get. He said, well, it's just try to love people. There's one question I think that we can ask people to which we will always get the same answer. Almost always, and it's that. Try to love people. Look down at verse 3. Verse 3 says emphatically no. That is not the Christian message. It's not about me bringing my best efforts to God. It's not about me trying to love people enough for God. Rather, it is about God bringing his life-saving water to us. That is the Christian message. When somebody comes to Jesus Christ, it is only ever as a desperate and dying man or woman, plunging their heads into the wells of salvation. That is what verse 3 is saying. It's about grace. It's about what God has opened up for us, not about what we bring to him. I remember my first taste of this water as a 14-year-old. I've described it before as like a great weight being lifted off or like light flooding in, but perhaps verse 3 is a better way of describing it, like a deep thirst being quenched. I remember it very clearly, a thirst being quenched, a thirst for hope, for love, for relationship with my Creator. A thirst indeed that no other water can satisfy. And I think we could go round this room and find people saying the same thing as they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing verse 3 communicates, though, is that God's salvation is freely available. That image of the wells of salvation brings across that it's freely available. If you're here investigating Christianity today, and I hope there are some here for whom that is the case, there is no charge for this water. It's completely free. Neither does water discriminate. This is an important point. Water doesn't have standards as to who can drink it. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. You can drink water. It is freely available to anyone without distinction. Mm. I was on retreat recently with Jonathan Aitken as part of the recent cohort of Church of England. He's been ordained in the Church of England. And as many of you will know, Jonathan Aitken was at one point a disgraced politician. And as he was sitting in prison, publicly disgraced for perjury, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he tasted this water, forgiveness, love and hope. I was at church on Sunday with a lady in her 60s who'd been a crack addict for most of her life and down and out in every sense of the word. A really difficult life. She became a Christian 2 years ago. She has tasted the water. A leading city lawyer in one of the international law firms very close by last year became a Christian, came to the Lord Jesus. On the surface, a decent bloke, not a crack addict or anything like that, just a sort of decent bloke living a normal life, plunged his head into the wells of salvation. Because water does not discriminate. God does not discriminate. His salvation is for anyone. The third observation about this image in verse 3, and I think it would be possible to get this verse wrong, in the sense that we might take it to refer to a one-off event, as if at the moment someone comes to Jesus, they take a great big drink, and then that's it, that does them for the rest of eternity. But that is not how Isaiah's image is working. That's not how wells worked in the ancient world. A well was the permanent source of water, wasn't it, that sustained the life of a community ongoingly. And so Isaiah is describing in a nutshell what is going to be the ongoing experience of the Christian, not only in this life, but on into eternity. It is ongoing and forever that we draw this water of salvation. Now, there may be some here who follow Jesus. I just want to address those who do, who are thinking, do you know what? It's been a long time since I feel that I've tasted this water. I bet that is the case for many of us here. I have a good Christian friend who would say that she has not felt much joy at all in the last 5 years, just the demands of life crowding in. That may be you. Or for some, perhaps more accurately, it feels as though from time to time you get sort of half a drop, a bit like those desert travellers squeezing the last bit of moisture out of a leather pouch, just enough to keep going for the next couple of hours. And that can be what the Christian life feels like. And if that's you, there is no need to panic. The psalmist has that experience too. That is normal. And there are probably many complex reasons for why one might go through a spiritually parched period like that, sometimes out of our control. Mental health might be an obvious example for that. However, having said that, it might simply be that you need to replunge your head into the wells of salvation, if that is you. Where do we find these wells, we ask? Well, we find them in Jesus Christ. Where do we find Jesus Christ today? Well, in his word, the Bible. Here are the wells of salvation as accessible today as we plunge our heads into them. So if you are feeling spiritually dry, can I just suggest you think you could think about ways of replunging your head into the wells of salvation, because in the Bible you will find them. It might mean leaving the kids with the grandparents, being radical, you know, for a day, taking a day with your wife or husband or whatever it is, and instead of going to the spa, just read a gospel together. Take a day. We could go to the spa and read a gospel together. Another thing you could do, come away on the weekend away with us, March the 1st to the 3rd. It'd be lovely for some of you to come away with us. Great teaching, just a time to get away with our families and plunge our heads into the wells of salvation. Another thing, what about reading John with a colleague? Everyone who's a Christian person who does this, they say they learn so much and are encouraged themselves. We often frame one-to-one reading as being only for the other person's benefit, but it's not. Why not see one-to-one reading as a way to plunge your own head into the wells of salvation, even as you grab someone else's head and plunge it in at the same time? What a great way to do that. So this water quenches our deep soul thirst. What a wonderful truth. It is freely available to anyone. What a wonderful truth. It is ongoing and forever. It is our eternity. But secondly, the second thing I just want to come on to is this water also transforms us. My wife persuaded me to read Harry Potter. It took her months to persuade me to read Harry Potter. I was determined to hate it, but I became actually so hooked on it I couldn't put it down. Anyway, there's a potion in it which some of you will know. If you drink it, makes you fall in love with someone. I can't remember quite how this happens, whether it's the first person you see or something like that, I don't know. Now, in so many ways, that illustration is unhelpful. But in one way, it is exactly what happens as someone drinks from the wells of salvation. And that is that we are transformed, and specifically we are transformed in what or whom we love is completely turned on its head. I wonder if you saw that as we read verses 4 to 6. Let me read them again. Verse 4, "And having drunk from the wells of salvation, you will say in that day, 'Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.'" I wonder if you can work it out. When someone comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and drinks this water, well, they will quite simply be bowled over by God because of his goodness, his grace, his glory, as they see who he really is. He will become the passion of their heart. He will become the centre of their lives. You can always tell the true football fan by the levels of cheers. Some people's celebrations are just on another level. It's the fan, you know, the real fan is the kind of 10-second sustained shout, isn't it, as the goal goes in. Look again at verse 6, which speaks volumes about this transformation. What is the thing that will make the Christian shout for joy, as if England have scored the winning goal? Well, "Shout for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." In other words, the presence of the one they love. To be in the presence of God. That is what every Christian will long for. This means that for the Christian, there will be nothing better about heaven than being in the presence of their glorious God. Now, many of you may have witnessed this transformation in others. I mentioned a lady I'd met at church who's become a Christian in the last couple of years called Carol. This transformation as she drank the water. I was chatting to her on Sunday, and I can't remember exactly what I said, something mundane, like, you know, "God is good, isn't he?" And to my surprise, she choked up and actually couldn't get the next words out because she was just so overwhelmed with gratitude to God. The mere mention of his name was enough to bring her to tears. 3 years ago, God was barely a consideration for her. But she has drank from the wells of salvation. She's come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now God has become the fixation of her heart. She loves him more than anything else. He has become everything to her, because this is the water that transforms us and transforms our love. I wonder if you notice as well, this newfound love is expressed upwards and outwards, isn't it? Verse 4, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, upwards. Make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted, outwards. Verse 5, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously, upwards. Let this be made known in all the earth, outwards. That is how true love for God is expressed. This is the authentic Christian response to salvation. We will be those who give thanks, call upon God, sing to him, upwards. We will be those who proclaim, who make him known, outwards. You can't have one without the other. You can't decide, oh, I think I'll be an upwards Christian and not an outwards. Or I'll be an outwards and not an upwards. It's both and. That is what we should expect as we are transformed by this water. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus and you're anything like me, you will be thinking, do you know what? I wish verse 4 to 6 described me better, but I'm such a pale reflection of this. Well, there are a couple of things we can say on that. Firstly, I think we can say we're not what we once were. The transformation has begun. God has begun to become the centre of our lives and the passion of our hearts. If we're honest, we can see that if we're Christian. The transformation has begun, and yet there's so much more. And so we need to see verses 4 to 6 as our direction of travel. This is true Christian maturity. This is our aim in life, to be transformed more and more into this kind of person. You may ask, how does this happen? Well, it comes back to verse 3. It comes back to drinking from the wells of salvation. That is how we are transformed into those who love God with a passion and express that upwards and outwards. There's a guy in who leads the city ministry just over there at St. Helens, Bishopsgate. He's been doing it for years. I'll always remember he said to me that there were people who'd been coming to Bible studies for years, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And what he'd noticed is he'd seen them gradually changing more and more into this kind of person, the 4 to 6 kind of person. As they drank regularly and deeply from the wells of salvation, so they were transformed. It didn't happen overnight, but slowly, verses 4 to 6 was their direction of travel. I wonder where you want to be in 5 years' time. They ask that, don't they, in your annual reviews. Where do you want to be in 5 years' time? Well, you can't do much better than verses 4 to 6 if you're a Christian here. I want to be more bowled over by God, more obsessed with him, more passionate about him, more deeply thankful, more constantly calling on his name, more passionate that his deeds be made known in the city, more longing for that day when we will shout for joy in his presence. So to sum up, I think what these verses are saying to the Christian, I think they're saying, keep drinking from the wells of salvation. Keep enjoying God. Plunge your head into the wells of salvation found in the Bible. And as you do so, expect and pray to be transformed more and more into people who so love God that we will more wholeheartedly be upwards Christians and more wholeheartedly be outwards Christians. And to those investigating Christianity today, well, if you thirst in your soul, the message for you, there is only one kind of water that can quench that thirst, and it is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me pray as we close. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the wells of salvation, that it is such good news, that the message of the Bible, the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus is such good news of grace, of provision, of eternity. We thank you for that. And we pray that you would help us to long more and more for those wells of salvation. Pray that you help us to plunge our heads into the wells of salvation and be transformed into the people that you want us to be. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.